We are joined right now by an all-pro, a Pro Bowler, 10-year NFL vet. He led the NFL in interceptions in 2014. He is a two-time Good Guy Award winner with the Lions. He was the 112th pick overall in 2009 out of New Mexico. He is host of the YouTube show, The DB Room. Glover Quinn is my guest. Glover, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. All right, so we're 2 days away from the Texans facing the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving on CBS. These are your two former teams. What's it like for you to see them go up against each other?
You know what? It's actually not too bad. You know what I'm saying? I don't have anything against any of these organizations. You know, I had a great time when I was in Houston and, you know, forever grateful because they were the team that gave me my first chance, you know, and then I had a great time when I was in Detroit. They were the team that gave me my second chance and you know, allowed me to continue on in my career. So it's just fun, you know, to watch those teams play on Thanksgiving. I remember being a part of that game back in 2012, you know, with the Texans and going out there to play and then going on and playing in the Thanksgiving game the next 6 years in a row. So it's just a huge tradition in Detroit, you know, getting to play that Thanksgiving game, starting the Thanksgiving slate of games off. So it just be fun to watch them play. And you know, both teams are kind of, you know, struggling right now, need to get a win. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Glover Quinn is joining us. He's host of the YouTube show, The DB Room. I'm going to ask you about that matchup in a minute. But, I mean, obviously as fans, we love Thanksgiving Day football. As a player, what are those games like? Does it feel really different from every other game on the schedule? Or do you try and treat it like it's not? Like, as a player, what did that feel like?
You know, for us, when I was in Detroit, it was a huge game, you know, but it's also a Thursday. It's a Thursday game, but it's not a typical Thursday game because most of the time you play at 8 o'clock or whatever on the East Coast. So you get, you know, almost a full day on Thursday. Whereas this game, you know, you're playing at, you know, 12:30 actually, in the morning. So it's a quick turnaround from Sunday. Luckily you don't have to travel, but the tradition is just so big in Detroit. You know, they have parades and all types of performances and, you know, it's real special how they do it out there. And so as a player playing for the Lions, it's kind of a huge deal. You know, when you're traveling, I know when I came as a Texan, I was just happy that we were getting to play at 12:30 so that hopefully I can get back home and enjoy Thanksgiving dinner that night.
Right.
And, you know, kind of get to enjoy the rest of the weekend because you've already played your game. So that's kind of how it was for me on the opposing side. And then, like I said, being a part of it, it's just such huge tradition. You want to go out, you want to play well, and it's a big deal for Detroit.
That's a great breakdown. That's cool. Glover Quinn joining us. So where does that leave that team? For instance, they're coming off a shutout loss to the Panthers. They've lost 3 of 4. They're in last place in the division. As you watch the Lions right now, what kind of thoughts do you have?
You know, it's kind of how they've always been in the last couple of years. You know, they got some talented guys, but defensively, sometimes they struggle closing out games, you know, stopping people. And then offensively, you have, you know, plenty of weapons, but it kind of feels like to me that they still be looking for their identity. You know, are they going to let this team be ran by Matthew Stafford and let him throw the ball all over the place? Do they want to be a running team and feature, you know, DeAndre Swift or Adrian Peterson or Kerryon Johnson? Are they going to, you know, I know he's hurt right now, but Kenny Galladay is a big-time piece in his offense, Marvin Jones, you know, so you got to boost the receiving core. But it kind of just seems like it's kind of all over the place. And to come off a shutout, you know, loss, you know, I know those guys are going to be, you know, excited to get back out there and get to play. You know, lucky for them, they have a short turnaround, so they got to kind of forget it and move on really quickly. But you just hope it don't carry over to this week. And you come out and have another, you know, poor performance and you lose 2 games in a row in a span of 5 days.
Glover Quinn joining us. I mean, to your point, that's a team with talent. That's a team with talent that they're pretty far down the road not to have an identity. So when you look at the head coach, Matt Patricia, do you feel like this guy can get this thing turned around or is he essentially a dead coach walking?
You know, that's tough to say, you know, when you say get things turned around, I don't feel that, because, I mean, it's kind of been the same since day one. Zach probably went downhill. You know, my first year, well, my last year in Detroit was his first year, and I think we won 6 games that year. You know, and then they came back last year. I think they won 3, and then they've won 4 this year. And I know Stafford was hurt, you know, a majority of the year last year. But I don't know. I don't know if he is the guy. But you know, I'm not the one to sit here and say, hey, fire him or whatever, because the Lions have shown that that's not what they're interested in doing right now. And so there's no point of continuing to beat that dead horse. If the Lions don't want to make a move, then obviously Lions fans are going to have to hope that they can, you know, halfway turn around to win some games. I know they went into these last 2 games feeling like they had a good opportunity to get above 500, right? You go 4-5, you're playing against Carolina, and you got Houston, 2 struggling teams, where you feel like, hey, we can win 2 games in 5 days, and now we're sitting 6-5. And you never know what could happen. So this is going to be a big game for them to have to try to win to at least get back to, you know, 5-6 or whatever it may be, and try to at least kind of stay in some kind of hunt.
Glover Quinn is joining us on the program. You know, your show, your YouTube show, is really interesting because you can break it down and get into the technical aspects of the game. Earlier this season, you had Viking safety Harrison Smith on the DB room. As one safety looking at another, what makes Smith unique and special?
Well, the thing I liked about Harrison that, you know, I've always liked about him is just he's a consistent guy, and he plays the game the way it should be played. Plays hard, plays physical. And the thing that, you know, when you look at Harrison, he's not one of those guys that's just going to jump off the tape as doing something spectacular. He's going to be the guy that jump off the tape because you're like, man, every time he has an opportunity to make a play, he makes that play. You know, they put him in a situation to make plays in the backfield, he makes those plays. They put him in situations to make plays in coverage, he makes those plays. And so, to me, that's the type of player that you like. You know, every now and then you get those guys that, you know, it's boom or bust, right? They're going to make a spectacular play, but they're going to miss so many routine plays. You know, whereas you look at a guy like Harrison, like I said, he's not going to just wow you off the field with his athleticism and all those things, but his consistency, his effort, his IQ is going to be top notch, and he's just going to consistently make the plays to help his team.
Well, I'll tell you a guy that will wow you off the field. Somebody else, Glover, that you had on your program recently, Calvin Johnson. Calvin Johnson stopped by. Hard to imagine that it's already his 5th season in retirement. You two played together in Detroit. You talked about the difference between Calvin Johnson and Megatron. Lay it out for us. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I've always been intrigued by that. You know, and not to get off the cabin, but I had Tyrann Mathieu on as well, and I was intrigued by the difference in Tyrann Mathieu and the Honey Badger, because, you know, as Americans, you know, we give these athletes, these players, these names, these characters that, you know, based off of how they perform, right? And so on one side, hey, I'm just Calvin Johnson. I'm just a guy that, you know, I went to Georgia Tech. I love my family. I just like kicking it, having a good time, not real crazy or this or that. But then on the football field, I'm Megatron. I'm this massive monster beast, you know, that I've shown to be on the football field. And sometimes it's hard for fans to separate that because they see you off the field and they assume that you're Megatron. But he's like, nah, I'm just Calvin. So it's a weird dynamic, and I'm always so fascinated at how people deal with that. How do you not get caught up in saying, okay, I'm going to be, you know, Megatron the whole time, or I'm going to be the Honey Badger the whole time? You know, how do you switch off and just be like, man, I just want to be Calvin. Like, I just want to be me right now. I don't want to be Megatron right now. So I'm always fascinated by that. And so a lot of times when I talk to those guys that have those names that, you know, everybody know this for, I want to know how they feel, you know, being Calvin Johnson and being Megatron. And, you know, most of the time, they'll always tell you, I never really even, you know, cared about the nickname. Like, they just started calling me that. And so I just kind of went with it, you know what I'm saying? So It's a weird dynamic, but it's very interesting to me.
Well, I'm with you. I think that's fascinating myself. And I'm really glad you brought up Tyrann Mathieu. Like, I'm not looking to air any dirty laundry or anything like that, but just admission, Glover. You're in this side of the business now, but it's different because you are who you are and you play the game. You'll always have access. Doing what I do is interesting in that we have access to a lot of guys, and then situations change, and through no fault of their own, guys that we had access to, sometimes we no longer have access to, and I know this is in part that they don't get the request. And I bring this up because you mentioned Tyrann Mathieu. I've long been fascinated by the Honey Badger / Tyrann Mathieu. I think he's an incredible player and an incredible personality and an incredible presence, and my man's overcome so much on and off the field, and it kind of disappoints me that I can't get to him now and talk to him about these things, but I can talk to you about him. When you watch him play, what makes him unique? I mean, like, he's an unbelievable athlete, but when you look at his technique, you look at his mentality, you look at his playmaking ability, what do you think when you watch him play?
I mean, he's a fiery guy, you know. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. You know, when you look at the grand scheme of defensive backs and safeties, he's actually an undersized guy. But he's been that way his whole life. I see a guy that's versatile. And he's relished in that role. You know, he can do so many different things. He can blitz off the edge. He can play physical in the box. He can play deep in coverage. You know, he can cover guys one-on-one. So to me, that right there marks a great safety. You know, you have some guys who excel in the box, but they don't excel in the deep part of the field as a safety. And then you have some guys that excel in the deep part, but they don't excel in the box. So when you have that safety that you can put him deep, you can put him, you know, down in the box, you can blitz him off the edge, you can have him cover guys, you can do so many different things. Like, it just makes you more valuable as a person, more valuable as a player. And I just think, you know, the way he plays the game, he plays to me like a guy that's had a second chance. You know, he doesn't play like he takes the game for granted. He plays like he loves the game. And he actually talked about this when I had him on the show, about when he did get kicked out of LSU, how, you know, that was his first time not having football. And, you know, you kind of realize just how much it really does mean to you to have that taken away, and you're wondering, are you going to even get to play again? And so when you get the opportunity to play again, you know, you kind of don't want to mess it up, you know. And then you look at, you know, being in Arizona, you know, injury, boom, you get cut, and it's like, man, I got cut. It probably evokes some of those feelings again of not having football. And so he's really, you know, taken on these last few years, going from Houston to Kansas City and just transforming that defense, giving them some personality, giving them some attitude, leading them to a championship, a Super Bowl, and to be named team MVP when you play on the same team as a Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's incredible. It just shows the type of player he is, the type of person he is, for his teammates to respect him like that. But I also think that shows the type of person and player that Patrick Mahomes is, for his teammates not to feel like they're disrespecting Patrick Mahomes by voting Tyrann Mathieu as the team MVP. So I think that shows the dynamic that those guys have in Kansas City.
Glover, one last thought. When a guy gets cut, generally speaking, I'm not asking you to paint a broad stroke over every single guy in every single situation. Generally, though, if a really good player gets cut, and it's not at the end of their career, but when they know they can still play, how often does that person, like, it's going to hurt, right? It's going to hurt your pride. You might even lose some confidence, even at the highest level. But at some point, you're going to turn that thing on its head, and you're going to use it for fuel. You ever see a really good player get cut and was never the same after that, like never got that mojo back?
You know, I can't name anyone off top, but I know it happens. And I think, you know, if you study the game and you understand the business of football, most of the time as veterans or just people that know, you kind of know when you got a chance to be cut. And sometimes it's not a knock against you as a player. It's just the situation, right?
It's the math, right?
Right, it's mad, right? You look at Tyrann, he signed a big deal in Arizona. He was making a lot of money, counting a lot against the salary cap, but he's coming off some injuries. You know, he had ACL, I think, multiple times. And so as a team, as an organization, you're having to figure out, okay, is this guy that's coming off these injuries, is he still worth $16 million? you know. And so a lot of times it's not that you can't play, it's just that you've been injured or you've been in different situations that haven't allowed you to play or haven't allowed your value to be shown, and we just don't want to take that chance. And now he's been healthy, and I think that did put an extra chip on his shoulder, so it didn't take him long to just regain what he always knew he had. He just needs to get healthy. And once he done that, you know, he betted on himself, took a one-year deal in Houston. You know, that's big for players, especially in their prime, to take a one-year deal because, like I said, you're basically betting on yourself. I'm either going to ball out or I'm not. And he bet on himself, and you know, he turned that into a huge payday with the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, when you kind of know and expect it, being cut don't really hurt as much. It's the guys that, you know, feel like, you know, they're in the top of their game, and then all of a sudden I get cut, and you're like, hold on, why did I get cut? Like, I've been balling. Like, was I not balling? Like, what happened? Why did you cut me? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
those are the ones I feel like struggle to come back because now their mind is messed up. Like, man, I thought I was playing well, and I got cut.
That's what I was getting at, exactly. That's exactly what I was getting at. Glover Quinn, kind of, we're just kicking it old school, man, going long form. I didn't mean to keep it this long. One last follow-up because this is such a good conversation. Watching Patrick Peterson on Monday night, and I'm not looking to put you in a bad spot, did it look to you like maybe he may have lost a half step, or are we just talking about DK Metcalf and this dude being a beast?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a little bit of both. You know, I think it's a little bit of both. Patrick Peterson is a guy that has done it at a high level for a very, very, very long time. And, you know, me personally, I'm a defensive back, so I'm always side, you know, with my DBs. You know, I love DBs. It's just kind of the fraternity that I feel indebted to. So I'm going to always side with my guy, Patrick Peterson. But DK Metcalf, he's on a different level right now. He's young, super explosive, super big. You know, and Patrick Peterson is a guy that has been athletically better than most people that he's faced throughout his career. And as you get older, obviously, you get over your prime, you start, you know, taking little small steps back. But when you're such a superior athlete, you're still better than most. But then when you go against a guy that's a, you know, physical specimen, sometimes some of those deficiencies can show up. And, you know, DK is an explosive guy. He's big. And Patrick, you know, even though he's a bigger corner, he's never really been looked at as a super physical corner that's trying to get his hands on people and really, like, disrupt them. He's always just been an athletic guy that can just run and cover everybody. And so you saw some plays that, you know, DK got on him, and that's a part of being in the NFL. That's a part of being a top guy. You're going to place all the top guys, and sometimes they're going to win, and sometimes you're going to win. But I think Pat P will learn from that game, and if they run into each other again down the line in the playoffs or something, I think he'll definitely be prepared for it.
I lied. I thought it was something else. I was watching Troy Aikman the other night, Glover, and he was going out of his way. I mean, he made it perfectly clear that Deion Sanders was the best corner ever, period. Like, he didn't even want to hear a conversation. Have you ever seen a better corner than Deion?
You know what? I haven't in the, you know, in the, like Deion to me, because I was young when Deion was in his, like, super primes, right? When he was 95, I mean, I would say I was 10 years old. So I was a kid, right? So Deion, to me, is kind of like that Michael Jordan syndrome where he was just such a big-time guy when I was a kid. But I do remember, you know, Deion not having a reputation as not wanting to tackle guys.
Right.
Right? He was a super Always. Great cover guy, super explosive, super. I used to love to watch him play. I used to hope he scored touchdowns so he can dance. I loved his personality. But like I said, he had that reputation. As a kid, it didn't matter to me. But as I got older and started to play, then I started to realize, okay, well, Deion was a great cover guy, but he didn't really like to tackle. So then you kind of started to figure out, well, because I was a guy that had to tackle. So I'm like, okay. But, you know, when it comes to covering and being a playmaker and doing great things for the defensive back world and nation, you know, it's going to be hard for me to put anybody over Deion just because of what he means to so many people. And, you know, anytime you see that number 21 in a secondary, you already know, hey, that guy right there is probably really good, or at least you think he is.
I appreciate that response. I agree with it. And where is the interview that goes that long on this show, but that interview was that good? He is an all-pro. He is a pro bowler. He is a 10-year NFL vet. And that's the type of thing you get on his YouTube show, The DB Room. It's a great, great show. Make sure you check it out. Glover, really appreciate you again. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to keep you so long. I got kind of caught up. You know, that'll happen.
Oh, you good, man. You're good. I love the conversation with you, man.
You too, man. Appreciate that, Glover. Thanks so much. Glover Quinn, that was a great NFL conversation. Great NFL conversation. And he's got a great YouTube show, once again, called The DB Room. And he had Megatron on. He had Tyrann Mathieu on. I wanted to ask him about Jim Caldwell, who we also had on. You know, guys like that. This is what I like about guys like that, Darius Butler. They have access and they have insight and they're not afraid to get in. Mix it up a little bit. Glover Quinn. All right, we'll take a short timeout. This short timeout will lead to a short segment because that was a long segment. Then we're back on the clock.